This is Linda Nygaard. I'm at the studio today at KVSHLP Vashon, Washington. Welcome to Stirring the Pot, where we're going to talk about some food things, some stories, some ideas. I hope you pull up a chair and have some coffee and listen to us. My guest today, and this is going to be every Wednesday, every first Wednesday of the month, Tom Conway, who is of Tall Clover Farms. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you've read his blog. And he is known as, you know, Man About Town, Tom.
Bon vivant, that's right.
Yes, he's a bon vivant. Welcome, Tom. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And then we have Mr. Chris Austin, who is of mostly True Vashon Tours.
Vashon Tours and Mostly True Radio Show.
Mostly True Radio, yeah.
And a shout out to Tom's show,
yes.
Which is a great show.
And
precedes
Tom has,
mine.
Yeah. Yep. Tall I forgot Clover. The show. Sorry. Tall Clover Farms on the radio, too.
It
and
is.
It's a wonderful show. I listen to it
Thanks.
A lot. So anyway, hi, Tom, and hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yo.
Before we get started, today's topic is a little, I don't know what, it's different. It's a different topic, and we're going to talk about guilty pleasure foods. I think you probably have one or two in your repertoire, but first, I wanted to give a little bit of a nod to Beltane, which is May 1st or May Day today. Beltane, as you know or may not know, is a Gaelic celebration of springtime, everything spring, including fertility. Mostly it's a fertility celebration with fertility foods and fertility dancing and all the greens and the vegetables and the wonderful things that people do on Beltane. It's a Gaelic pagan festival. And I just
pretty much every day on Vashon.
It's always fertility day for me.
Let's go down to the marine park.
So let's get to some of the food for Beltane. Aphrodisiacs.
Scotch eggs better not be in there.
The Scotch eggs are not in there, but asparagus and figs, nutmeg, oysters, truffles, and vanilla. Okay, and then,
really?
And then grilling is part of Beltane. Grilling meat, you know, goats and cows especially.
It's very primal.
It is very primal. And then, of course, there's some alcoholic enjoyment.
What?
Mead, probably, and some white wine. And then, you know, to decorate your house, in case you're going to do that for Beltane, I've been advised that you should construct little altars that represent various foods, the fertility foods like bananas.
It's called the refrigerator. Okay.
Eggplants.
Yeah, right.
Cucumbers.
And what else was it? Yeah, bananas. Papayas.
Oh,
papayas.
Yes.
How do they even know about papayas?
They said
Celtic land.
Okay, we got to do some fact
ancient
checking.
Ancient astronauts
there.
Told them.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to say Happy May Day to everybody. I used to love May Day.
Oh, May Day's great.
I had an aunt who would call me every May 1st, and sing a little song to me that I can't repeat on the radio, but
she told us, and it was really colorful.
Yes, it's colorful.
It's pretty awesome.
I'll tell you next time I see you if you ask me about it, but it's not. It's one of the seven deadly words on the radio.
Do you know what else today is? I can't believe it just clicked into my slow brain. Today is my anniversary.
Of what?
Of buying a house on Vashon and
it
officially
is.
Closing and moving into my house May 1st, 2004, which would make that
congratulations.
15 years.
That's big.
Yeah.
You know, for the listeners, we should probably say that one of the things that I got to bribe people with to come in and help me with my show, because I really cannot handle the board.
It's the only reason I'd come.
I know. So I bribe people, and I promised I'd bring something baked every time. So today I baked something really
and
different.
What, this is the first time you've done it.
It's the first time I've done it. Yeah.
Yeah. How's it working?
Yeah, well, I only made the promise recently.
That's true. Now, that's right. Four shows ago.
Yeah. No. Anyway, give me a break, Tom.
I'm sorry.
This is a tamarind cream pie. Tom, tell me about it, what it tasted like.
You know, it was surprisingly good because It was, I mean,
and, thank and, you.
No, okay. No, I didn't mean it. Wait, I didn't mean it like that. What I meant is when you look at it, it has a curiously, it's like an interesting, like if it's a wall color, it would be called like rancid chocolate.
No, it would be called old saddle.
Old saddle. That's true. So the color is different, and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily you raise an eyebrow and go, what could that possibly be?
Like, what was that when it was new?
Exactly. When the pumpkin went awry or something. But, it is, it's really good. It has a real kick to it.
It's puckery. It's pucker pie.
Yeah.
Well, tamarind, you know, is a tropical, it's a hardwood tree.
Yeah.
And the tamarind is a seed pod.
Big sticky old seed pod.
And it's full of vitamins and minerals, and it's a really healthy thing to eat. So I made a tamarind pie.
Yeah, it makes a really great drink, like tamarindos.
Oh, yeah. I love tamarind.
The Celtics like tamarind.
They do?
It was a fertility thing.
Oh, yeah. They know all right. about those seed pods.
When they first went to Bolivia.
Well, right. So who has a guilty food pleasure? Like, what? How are we defining guilty pleasure? Anyway.
I think probably a really good definition for me is guilty pleasure is something that I feel like I have to explain to other people why
absolutely.
I'm eating it, or at least the quantity in which I am eating it.
Oh dear, that's always the secret for
me. That's the secret, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we can do a little footnote, or the food that when you were a child, you would hide from your parents because they'd go, quit eating that.
Stop it. Don't you know I'm saving that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
that made me a peanut butter addict, basically.
I think one of my guilty pleasure foods that's on the upper end schedule mm-hmm. is pecan pie.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, I can just eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's embarrassing how much I can eat.
And you know what? Sometimes I just want to take a spit wad and hit people in the forehead because if you say pecan pie, and I was like raised in the South, so pecan pie was a staple. It's like, you know, okay, I'll give it to you. Sweet tea's too sweet. It's morphed into basically sugar syrup.
No, but not mine.
No, okay, see, but in the South now, like if you get sweet tea, I don't remember growing up with it being that sweet.
Well, it's thick. It's so sweet.
It's exactly. Yeah. It looks like honey, but the pecan pie, the first thing they do, it's like people on Vashon, when you say you watched a TV show, they love to like, it takes some 2 nanoseconds to go, oh, I don't know, I don't watch TV. And so that is, that's a Vashon thing that's pretty endemic here. But the other thing is, when you say pecan pie, 1001, 1002, 1003. Oh, I don't really like pecan pie. It's so sweet.
Oh.
And so
there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
And then I say, get out of my house.
Well, did you, what do you have on your on your plate?
Mine was kind of an experience more than the food itself, because when I was 7, a little kid, snot-nosed kid in Canada, my brother would give me $1 to go to the corner store and buy him some cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Like you do when you're 7.
Sure, like you do for your big brother.
So this is such a cute little corner store. It's a gas station, and you go in, and right by the cash register where all the candies were open in just boxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you'd look to your left, and through the screen door, that was the family that had the gas station eating dinner. And they would get up, dad would get up and come in and say, what do you need, son? And he was, looking back, he was so patient. And he'd sit there, be smoking his cigarette with the ash going in the Swedish fish box. And I'd say, well.
Just a happy family.
I need a pack of Navy Cut cigarettes, Players, I believe is that. And then I got to pick what I wanted. And that was the experience. Nobody was going to tell me that, you know, you can't get that kid. And I would pick this little roll. It looked like Tums, but it was double salted licorice.
Oh, dear.
And if you ever put your tongue on a 9-volt battery, you know that trick you do?
Yeah.
It is like electricity.
And then why do you like it?
I've been a licorice fan ever since.
Really?
Thriftway's got the licorice managers, the best ever I've lived.
Wow.
But double salted is so weird.
Do you like chocolate and licorice?
Nope.
Is there such a thing?
Yes. Somebody gave me a chocolate licorice bar, and I don't eat licorice ever.
I think that's trying too hard.
Years later, I found this double salted at Pier 1 in California.
Oh.
Every time I'd buy it, I'd bring it up to the register, and they'd say, have you had this? Like, they were warning me every time.
Don't
like,
eat it.
I'm like, yes, I have.
Yeah, oh, God, that's funny.
Well, I did a little
Can I tell you what my favorite one is?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
No, she, how should I say?
See, it's how we sit here. It's like
I know. Our triangle's a little.
Okay, Tom, it's your turn.
Sorry. I had to make it about me. About me. I haven't talked for 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Mine, which because I realized it was the day you realized it was a guilty pleasure. Like you, okay, I'll make it. Tom, just tell the story. Okay. So. I moved to Vashon, and one of the only there are two reasons that I was the only thing I was disappointed about Vashon. Just two things: one, Lake Washington didn't get to come with me because I like to swim in Lake Washington all summer, and the other thing was there's not a Dick's Drive-In here, and I kept my dentist, so at least twice a year I could go over to 45th and get a Dick's Drive-In, and I would sit there in my car, and you would know I would go there because no matter what I would do. No matter how I would sit, no matter how I would wrap it in a napkin and a bag, I would drip the special sauce down. It would just cascade down my my chest, and it was my mark of pride, my tartar sauce stain.
Well, I would say you're pretty good on just twice a year.
Thanks. Well, no,
that's virtuous.
If I now I don't go to Seattle that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick's Drive-In.
Well, we have good hamburgers here now.
We do.
Hamburgers here. Well, I you were talking earlier, maybe we weren't on the air yet, about the upper echelon of guilty pleasure and the real down and dirty stuff that you never would eat in front of anybody. And I asked a couple friends of mine what their guilty pleasure foods were.
Ooh.
And I, you know, nobody has a really sort of lowbrow except...
They won't tell you what the lowbrow is.
I think they're not telling me the truth.
No.
The first response I got was from our one and only Wendy Dahl, famous
dog whisperer.
Dog whisperer and massager and friend. Quote, "I don't believe in guilt. All my food choices are pleasure. I've been thinking about this all morning and nothing comes to mind."
God, she's so evolved.
She is.
Damn, nation.
I know. And then I started thinking about guilty pleasure. Yeah, you know, we're not supposed to feel guilty anymore about anything, but sometimes,
I've got years before I chip any guilt away, trust me.
It's a backlog.
Exactly. It's calcified.
My daughter-in-law, Angela, says that her secret that she only eats when she's alone, she has three of them, vanilla ice cream with milk. She puts milk on top of it, and then it makes the ice cream turn into kind of this crystally thing.
Oh.
And then she puts a package of hot cocoa powder.
Interesting.
And stirs it.
She's like a little chemist. Wow.
And then her other one is cheese quesadilla with extra cheese, which she dips in ketchup and sour cream.
Crazy.
And the third one is not that big, but it's butter and honey on bread that she could eat and eat and eat and eat.
No, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I usually put butter on Snapdragon cinnamon rolls.
Oh, I put butter on everything.
Can I have a side of butter, please?
Give me some butter for that fat.
Exactly.
Randy Bardwell, whom some of you may know, used to live on Vashon. He lives in San Diego now. Said his would probably be marshmallow cream. Mixed with cream cheese.
And then see that.
And you dip fruit in it, or you dip crackers in it, or you dip, you know.
Yeah.
It's a sweet, savory thing. Oh,
like, and maybe coat your ambrosia salad with it.
Yeah, something like that. And Deborah Taylor, you know Deborah Taylor.
I do. She's artist, a lovely cook and artist.
Exquisite. She's doing a show this
Very
weekend.
Very fine baker. Yes.
Quartermaster.
I'm going to break down and buy a piece of art.
I am too. I'm going to break down. We should go together and help each other through it.
Okay.
Hers would be upper echelon, of course.
Yes.
Carbonara.
Oh.
And she said she loves that bacon and egg pasta.
That's pretty awesome.
And then her other one is Boston cream pie, which, you know, she and I both said we could probably eat a whole one.
Yeah, she makes a keen one, I tell you. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the other things that Chris and I learned just a minute ago was that, do you know what the first junk food in America was? Anybody? Chris knows.
Cranberries?
No. Cracker Jacks.
Oh.
1893, Chicago World's Fair. And the recipe wasn't that great, but the fact that there was a little tiny prize in there.
Uh-huh.
And
there should be a prize in more food.
There should.
Well, I don't think they
Except,
need to
Except, you know,
that.
E. coli. That's not the... That's a surprise.
That's
but
a different prize.
It's not a prize.
Yeah. So, and you learned something about hot dogs.
Well, they were introduced, got their big lift in the 1993 Chicago World's Fair.
No, 1893.
1893, sorry.
Yeah, with the Cracker Jacks.
And it was, what they call them, Dachshund
sausage
in bread.
Seriously?
Oh, man. That's what they call it.
They don't like the hot dogs.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just made me think of something about the hot, when you said hot dogs.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, it was one of the coolest things I've ever had as far as like guilty pleasures that I just thought of. And it was in Idaho, and it's a thing in Idaho. And when I went back and visited with friends of mine and their family, we went to get, I always call them finger steaks. Or wait, is it steak fingers? Finger steak. Steak fingers. It's steak fingers. And they take basically like a sirloin steak and they cut it into tube shape, you know, like 1 inch square by 1 inch square.
Okay.
1 inch, no, long, like 1 inch by 1 inch by 6 to 7 inches.
Okay.
And then they roll it in flour and then they, then egg, and then they put it in a batter and then they deep fry it.
Oh,
and it's a steak finger. It's really good.
And you dip it in something?
Yes.
Like horseradish or?
Yeah, I think we had one of those little caddies on the table for horseradish, sour cream, and then you could, after a while, the caddy didn't look very good. your dippage goes everywhere.
Your dippage. Well, you know, one of the things I found out in my informal surveys of friends and acquaintances, people on the street, lots of people have macaroni and cheese as their most favorite thing. That they
mac
can't
and
get
cheese,
enough.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. And my friend Margie Bardwell in San Diego, that's hers, but she says her guilty pleasure is boxed mac and cheese. With or without the addition of stewed tomatoes and or hot dog coins that have been previously fried.
Hot dog coins. Was she raised in a Romanian orphanage?
That's a delicacy.
She brings up a good point in that her food, junk food or guilty food, depends on what kind of mood she's in.
Oh.
And if she's sad or tired, she wants soft things. She wants creamy things, casseroles, creamy mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And if she's excited and nervous or angry, she wants crunchy bean and cheese nachos.
Wow. She's really thought this through.
Yeah. And she wants saltines and grape jelly.
Oh,
so there's the crunching
gosh.
And the happy chewing and the, you know, all that good mouthfeel.
I feel that way about crunchy peanut butter.
You do?
Yeah, I like it so much better than creamy.
Me
I'm
too.
Not a peanut butter person at all.
You know, peanut butter was developed so old people with no teeth could get protein.
Really?
That's a true story. And you can see it when the
Are
smooth.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, give me 5 years.
But you can see the smooth, that you don't need any teeth to masticate it.
Yeah.
So do either of you have a craving for cookie dough? That was another really popular one.
I don't.
I totally do. In fact, that was another time when I was shamed as a child. One of the many countless times.
And back at the orphanage.
Back at the orphanage.
In Romania.
Where my do everything right sister. No. Where my who I love dearly. Where she would make pronouncements constantly when she was making cookies like, "Mom, Tom's eating the cookie dough." And so then she would take to hiding it. And kind of worked until she put it in the dryer. And that didn't work.
Oh my Lord. Well, I think you're bringing up some memories for me too, because when one of my other favorite I want to say junk food, but it isn't really junk food. It's really good for you in the long run, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, there were six of us, right? And we went on a vacation. It was like a Chevy Chase vacation, really, with suitcases and stuff on top of the car. Six kids in the car.
Montana?
You know, Montana, yeah. And, you know, it was in those seats that face backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the death facing. Traps.
Totally different vacation.
So I was sitting in the back because all those awful little kids were in the front, you know, and I was by myself and loving it. And all of a sudden, I'm looking out the back window, watching where we've been, and all the suitcases fall off the roof. And they're fleeing open, and clothes are tennis shoes.
This is before bungee cords.
Everything fell. And I'm hollering, I'm screaming at my dad, Dad, the suitcases. And of course, he's ignoring me because there's five other kids fighting in the car and, you know, swearing and all the things that people do in cars. And finally, he realized something was wrong, so he stopped. And then he got a little upset.
I'm glad you weren't on fire.
Well, yeah. But it was so noisy in there, he couldn't hear me. He just didn't hear me. So then he noticed. So he stopped, well, we might as well have lunch. He said, we're here. So we were by the road and he's picking up the suitcases. And my mom said, well, but there isn't. We were going to go to the cafe for lunch. And he said, there's something in that cooler. So he dragged, remember those sweet rolls that come in a cellophane thing? And they're nothing but grease and
shortening. They're like
hockey pucks. No, they're soft. They're very soft. Right. We had a few of those and we had some Italian dry peppered salami.
Ooh, I like that.
And mayonnaise. That's all we had. And so that was lunch. And I'm telling you, a piece of peppered hard salami on top of a butterhorn with some mayonnaise is just heaven.
I am going to take your word on that.
Oh, my goodness. I think in order for it to be heaven for other people, you probably have to replicate that whole scenario.
Yeah, but you know, it's fat, sweet. Yes.
That's true.
And bread.
That's true.
It's all the things
and
we
roadside.
Like.
Roadside.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like a really like quiche Lorraine.
In what regard?
Fat, sugar, sweet, kind of. I'm working with you here. That's
okay.
What I'm doing.
Okay.
Well, my lowbrow guilty pleasure is a pickled egg at a honky-tonk bar. It's got to be in one of those big jars that's so the fluid's so turbid you don't even know there's eggs in there.
And it's been there since the Civil War.
Yeah.
Do you eat it with a Slim Jim?
A hobo wouldn't eat it. I would turn it down, right? And I'm like, I think it's good. Yep. That's my lowbrow.
And are those purple?
They can be, yeah.
Yeah.
And you will be.
You know, you've eaten it. I like pickled eggs. Pickled pig's feet, too.
Pickled pig feet. Yep, that's another one.
Do you know? Sorry. I was thinking of my lowbrow guilty pleasure are tater tots.
Do you know everybody loves tater tots?
I never make them. And then I realized I was over at somebody's house and they made them. Oh, no, I know. It wasn't there at somebody's house. It was at the country club here.
Oh,
and
boy.
And they were like, I swear they gave you like 2 pounds of tater tots.
Or at the, Ida.
At the, exactly. And I was like, oh, and then you start dipping and they catch me and you become 12 again.
Yeah.
And well, I'm just going to have a few of these. And then
Napoleon Dynamite.
Exactly.
Put them in your pocket.
Tater tot.
What do you know? Do you know anything about famous people?
Well, what was Elvis? He cut the crust off.
Peanut butter and
peanut butter and bacon. Pickle?
And mayonnaise, I thought.
I thought it was peanut butter and pickle or... Here,
no,
let me
bacon and potato chips.
Oh.
Something.
Chris and I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
We know about the peanut butter and banana or the peanut butter and pickle.
Yeah, maybe it was banana, but it had the crust cut off and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a very, very...
You know, I think a lot of celebrities eat horribly, you know, because usually...
They can.
Yeah, they can. And they just like when I was doing a little research, it was surprising how much fast food a lot of them eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that much money, you think you'd.
Yeah, you have a chef make
ratchet
fast food.
It up a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, they probably just don't want to sit around and wait.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, they're tired. They work really hard. So I read what Anthony Bourdain used to love as junk food and I forgot.
Probably.
I just want you to know I did a little research.
No, I think it was Cobra Hearts.
It probably was.
Deep fried.
Deep fried. You know, I think one of my favorite pastry, I tend to lean heavily on the carbohydrate, which I need to do less of, but is donuts. And a lot of times, like I'll plan my trips in and out of Seattle or over to Vashon or over to Tacoma based on what I'm going to eat, which only makes sense. And, you know, a lot of my friends go ape crazy over Bakery Nouveau, you know, like, oh, we're going to West Seattle.
I know.
And they go to
Bakery
Nouveau. And I, you know, I feign interest. I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. I love spending $8 for a piece of pastry. No, and it's really good. It's extraordinarily
good.
It's extraordinarily good. But you know what? When it all comes down to it, this is my favorite guilty pleasure. It's just a few feet off the ferry and you go up that bar and you go to the original bakery and they have their cider cinnamon donuts. Now that's my low
cider
cal.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. Like a cinnamon, it's like a cider apple donut, cake donut.
So it's lower in calories.
And they have really good old fashions, but my favorite, absolute favorite is the Bismarck. And it's basically this billowy pillow of perfectly raised yeasted dough that's stuffed with not a pastry cream. That's almost more healthy. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
But it's like a super whipped something cream in there. And then they turn it over and dip it in chocolate and turn it back over. So you have the chocolate topping with the cream-filled center and the light puffy yeasted encasement.
Oh, goodness.
I think I put on about half a pound. Yeah. Listening to that.
Just thinking about it. Well, you know, junk food hasn't always been around. I mean, think about it. Back in agricultural days, people cooked in their homes and they didn't have a big bag of Cheetos. I mean, they just didn't have that kind of stuff.
And you look at all the vintage pictures and everyone was trim. No one
was.
I know.
And they were working in the field and they ate regular food. And one thing I was reading, somebody loves Cheetos. And I like them too. You know, I can eat them. But the funny article I read about it said that, you know, Cheetos are really mean to us because they dissolve in your mouth in a way that tricks you into eating the whole bag because you don't feel like you ate anything. You know, you just eat a Cheeto and it just sort of, that puffy thing just kind of dissolves in your mouth and then pretty soon the whole bag is gone.
Like popcorn.
Mm-hmm. The food scientists try and get to that bliss point.
They do.
Which is salt and sweet and
it's three things.
Doritos is a good example.
Fritos,
so, I mean,
Fritos.
You've got scientists working against your own evolution to make you eat. I mean, it's not fair.
No.
Well, and it all started with the revolution.
Cracker Jacks.
Well, before, no.
Our moon pass. Man, moon pass.
It was
our saying the moon pass.
Sorry. Chris, we need to calm down.
Please go.
Go away.
No, I say, up with it. Anyway, I was just going to say it started when there was so much flour available and industrialization started.
Mm-hmm.
And so then junk food in the beginning was very bread-based. And it still is. A lot of it still is. You know, the flours, like even Cheetos.
Oh. And
flour in them. Yeah.
How about Twinkies? Anybody know what's in that?
No.
No, but didn't you hear that thing one time that Twinkies, somebody set a Twinkie on their windowsill 20 years ago and it still looks the same?
Yeah.
The windowsill is eroded, but the Twinkie's the same.
I was more of a Little Debbie Ooh. Fan. You know, do you ever know Little Debbie? She might have been a Southern thing, too.
Yeah, but it was a Southern thing, yeah.
Yeah, and Lance's. They'd have these little packages.
Lance's, right.
Yeah.
You put the peanuts in your
Tom's.
Dr. Pepper.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Well, I think what else?
You
had something else, yeah.
Oh, for guilty pleasures? Oh, my gosh. You know, I said I would never run out of guilty pleasure junk. One of the things I sort of also include in the category is things you can't bring into the house because within a 24-hour period, who am I kidding? In a four-hour period, they'll be gone, like peanut M&Ms. Mm. Oh, and my ultimate favorite local candy is super lowbrow, but I still love them. But they're kind of cheapening out lately and making them smaller and smaller. The Mountain Bar really is now really kind of a berm bar. It's not really a...
I don't even know the Mountain Bar.
Not really a Mountain Bar. But the peanut butter one is the one you need to know. And it has just a couple weird combinations of layers of peanut butter and chocolate with crunchy things in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is...
Well, you know...
That's a Thriftway impulse buy if I ever saw one.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, one of my friends who said, I cannot use her name.
So let's see if you can guess.
See if you can guess who this is. So she has a similar concoction, I think. She said her sons tell her that she invented granola bars back in the 70s.
Mm.
She creams together brown sugar and soft butter. She adds peanut butter, preferably chunky, organic raw oatmeal and sunflower nuts, possibly a dab of chocolate sauce. Stir it together in a dough and then eat it in front of the TV late at night. And it can be adjusted to use brown sugar or honey. And it was something that she did a lot when she was a poor single mom.
Mm.
You know, the kids probably thought it was a great big treat. And she was probably looking at the pantry saying, well, this is what we got, kids. So now that she's older and her metabolism has slowed down, she'll just sometimes settle for a chocolate sundae.
That's
which
a good
one. Compromise.
Or do you like a 10 roof sundae with peanuts and chocolate?
I'm just not a peanut fan.
I found... where you can go online and order packages of candies by decade. So it'll find all the popular candies from the 60s
salted
or the 70s,
roll.
Like, you know, Zots or whatever, that you never find anywhere. And it's a whole box of all of that stuff.
Like Zagnut Clark's.
Yes, all the weirdos.
Well, kids, time's up.
No.
I know. It happens really fast, doesn't it? Thank you. And I hope that you'll take some pie home.
Oh.
I was kind of hoping somebody would stop by and have a piece with us, but nobody did.
No.
So.
we're a formidable group.
I think we look kind of scary. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
You are welcome.
And there. What's that? Oh, that's my music. Oh, goodness. Goodbye, people. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.